And this evening is Philippians chapter 4. And Paul writes this to conclude his letter. He says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and miss, who are my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. Loved ones, I urge you, Euodia, and I urge Syntyche, to come to an agreement in the Lord. Yes, and I'm also asking you, loyal friend, to help these women who have struggled together with me in the ministry of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the scroll of life. Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent and if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things: all that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, and all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things. Whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us, the God of peace will be with you. I am very glad in the Lord because now at last you have shown concern for me again. Of course, you were always concerned, but had no way to show it. I'm not saying this because I need anything, for I have learned how to be content in any circumstance. I know the experience of being in need and of having more than enough. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance, whether full or hungry, or whether having plenty or being poor. I can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. Still, you have done well to share my distress. You Philippians know from the time of my first mission work in Macedonia how no church shared in supporting my ministry except you. You sent contributions repeatedly to take care of my needs even while I was in Thessalonica. I'm not hoping for a gift, but I am hoping for a profit that accumulates in your account. I now have plenty, and it is more than enough. I am full to overflowing because I received the gifts that you sent from Epaphroditus. Those gifts give off a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that pleases God. My God will meet your every need out of his riches in the glory that is found in Christ Jesus. Let glory be given to God our Father forever and always. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters with me send you their greeting. All God's people here, especially those in Caesar's household, send you their greeting. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits." The word of God for God's people. Thanks be to God. Philippians 4 has all those lovely tidbits, right? In this translation, which of course is the Common English Bible, which we have in the pews, you have, "Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad." In the New Revised Standard Version and various other ones, it's, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." That's where that song comes from. "Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all of your requests to God in your prayers and petitions along with giving thanks." Right? That's one of those one-liners that gets thrown out. I can remember Grandma telling me that, not in so many words, but that's where Grandma got the basis for her. You give it to God and you leave it there, because if you're meddling, God can't deal with it. "The peace of God that exceeds all understanding, surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus." There are countless ministers who use that as a benediction or as a conclusion for their sermon, right? this is Paul saying goodbye, and he's wrapping up the letter. This is the part where when we write a letter, it's kiss the kids, pat the dog, and I'll be there in 3 weeks, so make sure you change the sheets on the bed, right? It's all those last little thoughts that Paul wanted to make sure he told the people of Philippi, not knowing whether, when, or ever he might return to them. It's those last little, nuggets. It's like, oh, yeah, you were concerned, and I felt, you know, okay, I felt your concern, and you know. All those little things that we take for granted sometimes. If you were writing a letter to people that you cared deeply about, what are the things that would end up at the end of the letter you were writing? If you were writing a letter to somebody that you had not seen in years, decades, if you could write a letter to a loved one who had gone on to glory before you, what would you say? You look at all of Paul's letters, and they all basically follow the same thing. It's, you open the letter with gratitude. I give thanks to God for you and for you being in my life. And you go through whatever the body of the letter is supposed to be, and you get to the end. And, you know, I charge you with this, and I give you that, and remember this, and hold on to that, and be with this, and that kind of thing. And so as we wrap up midweek Lenten services, getting ready for Holy Week next week, as we wrap up this joyful adding on to, this is kind of like the catch-all. Chapter 4 is kind of like the catch-all. It's the, remember to be thankful whether you have plenty or if you are in want. Deal with the circumstance and be thankful that you're able to deal with it, right? He says, you know, to be content in any and every circumstance. It's like his last thing he has to say to them. He says, you know, pray to the Lord, give it to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's that last admonishment to be joyful and to be thankful people. It's that last chance for Paul to tell that church, in this letter anyway, to be thankful for who they are. And more specifically, to be thankful for the way God's worked in their lives. It's all of those last-minute things. Philippians is a short letter, relatively speaking, right? It's only 4 chapters. We skipped chapter 3, but that's all right. You know, it's only 4 chapters. He hits the big things. He says, well, I'm in prison. I can feel your prayers. Thank you for sending so-and-so to me, and this is what we're doing. We need to be thankful that we recognize others in Christ. We need to be more, you know, intentional about being thankful and joyfully accepting people in Christ and accepting the Christ in them. We need to be joyful about the hospitality that we offer to one another and to understand that hospitality does not necessarily look like showing up with a pie, but rather just being there, right? It's that joyful remembering, wow, I'm claimed by God. I'm claimed by God. Paul's sitting in prison. He's imprisoned by Rome. He's locked up. Why? Because he's proclaiming Christ risen. Because he's teaching the good news that we know generations later. If I was in Paul's situation, I can't say that I would be writing a letter saying, I'm content in every circumstance, and I'm happy to be in prison, and I'm happy to be sharing the gospel with those who are here, because, well, this wouldn't be where I'd choose to be. No! I'd be, gosh darn it, my life's pretty rough. This is not a good hand to have been dealt. What if Jesus had said that? He had the moment in the garden. Father, if you remove this cup from me, if it be your will, right? He had his moment. But could you imagine if Jesus had done that? Had that same kind of mind that the rest of us have sometimes when faced with something we really don't want to do? Could you imagine if Jesus as a teenager, when, you know, he figured out, oh, okay, this is who I'm supposed to be, if he'd said, no. I've been watching Jesus, His Life on the History Channel. It's a great little mini-series. I mean, you know, it's the History Channel, so they're going to do what they do. But, you know, just talk about, you know, the point of view of the people who knew him best. So the first episode was Joseph. Geez, Joseph had a rough go of it. Here comes his girlfriend, fiance, pregnant. She's been gone for 3 months. They're not married. He could have walked away. He didn't. Why? Because God told him not to through the angel, right? And you get to Mary. Mary, oy, geez. Oy, vey. Mary, teenager, not married. Angel shows up. Ah! And then you got Jesus. Jesus himself. Who, you don't have a lot in the scriptures about Jesus' childhood. But you've got to imagine that Joseph and Mary maybe tried to shelter him a little bit. Remembering, of course, that they've lived through the massacre of the innocents, and they're, you know, the Roman Empire is what the Roman Empire is at this time, you know, and all of this. They must have sheltered him a little bit. But at some point, which I have to think happened before the baptism, I have to think that Jesus had an inkling before John dunked him and pulled him back up and, you know, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I have to imagine Jesus knew. If he didn't know then, he definitely knew at that point. If not for that fully divine side, he very easily could have said, forget it. Y'all are nuts. This isn't worth it. But he didn't, did he? No. He took death on the cross. He taught us everything he knew. He went to the cross. He died on our behalf. And then God got the last laugh and rose him on the third day. So you go forward a little bit, and then you get Paul. Remember Paul's story. Paul, who was Saul first, and he was persecuting Christians, and he was just terrible. And then what happens? Scales over his eyes, and he has to be taken, led to some other place, and he's converted, and he's like, I've seen the light. Jesus is Lord. And he's planting churches. Paul could have done the same thing with scales over his eyes and said, this is nuts. This is crazy. My life's so bad. But he doesn't, and he goes, and he's starting to plant churches, and now you've got, he's in prison. And he could have been, this is nuts. My life is terrible. But it's not his message for any one of the churches he writes to. It's not the message of the gospel for us today. It wasn't the message of the gospel 150 years ago when they started thinking about starting this church. It's not the message of the gospel as it will be 150 years from now. When I read Philippians 4, no matter how bad it might feel, then you guys know, we've been together long enough and you've heard enough of the stories, you know, no matter how bad it has been or it will be, I still woke up this morning. I still have breath in my body. I still have a story to tell. The same is true for every person who woke up this morning. It will be true, God willing, when we wake up tomorrow. When you wake up, you still have a purpose. And I think above all else, that's what Paul is telling the Philippians. Yeah, it's rough. Yeah, life is nuts sometimes. Yeah, you can get dealt a really cruddy hand. But you woke up this morning. You woke up this morning. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every circumstance, whether full or hungry, and whether having plenty or being poor. I can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. We are blessed, lucky, beyond measure, because we understand the truth. And if we don't fully understand it, we at least know that it exists. We've been blessed to grow up and to be adopted into a family of Christ that teaches us not only to be content in any and every circumstance, as Paul puts it, but that we follow one who did the impossible. We follow one who did the impossible, not once, but twice, because you remember, not only did Jesus come back from the dead himself, but how many weeks beforehand did he raise Lazarus from the dead? And Lazarus has been dead a few days. When you start feeling down, and when you start feeling like everything's going right to you know what, remember to turn to the one who laughed in the face of death repeatedly. Think on the miracles of our Savior. Think on the number of times Jesus saved somebody, not just from some kind of temporary ailment, but people who were literally dying of things. I mean, think about the woman with the 12 years hemorrhage. You've been bleeding for 12 years, that's a long time. Think about the little girl who he was on his way to see, and this is a Talitha Kum, right? Little girl, get up. They thought she was dead. He said, well, no, she's just sleeping. Lazarus, yes, Jesus, yes, but think about all of the miracles Jesus performed and the ways he saved people from not necessarily death, but definitely dishonor or disgrace. Think about Jesus' first public miracle, changing the water into wine at the wedding at Cana. He saved that wedding and those people hosting that, and depending on how you read it, his mother, from sheer disgrace. He saved the lepers and he saved the hungry people. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every circumstance, .. I can endure all these things through the power of the one who gives me strength. When the going gets tough, the tough ought to be looking to Jesus and being thankful that we have that available to us. Constantly, without fail. Every time we break the bread, every time we pour the chalice, yes, we remember Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, and yes, we remember the new commandment that he gave us, and yes, all of these things that we say every time. But when I stand there in the center aisle and call you by name and tell you the body of Christ broken for you, and whether on Wednesdays and it's me or on a Sunday when I've got communion service next to me and that blood of Christ shed for you, That should always, always be your reminder in that moment just how precious you are. And in that moment, hold on to it. Always hold on to just how precious you are and the joy that comes with it. And be thankful, people. Because I'll let you in on a little secret. When you are a thankful person, that thankfulness spreads like wildfire. The song from the, the 60s or the 70s, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Actions speak louder than words. Show that you are thankful. Show that you are full of the joy that you know because your Redeemer lives. And share it with those around you. Because if we learn nothing else from Paul and his letter to the Philippians, it is that we are called to continue to share the gospel in every circumstance. Whether we are high on the hog or scraping the bottom of the barrel. In a few moments of silent reflection, spend some time telling Jesus thank you. Spend some time thinking about the ways in the next 2 weeks, between now and Easter, that you can show how you live as resurrection people.